Hello, everyone. We over at Archangels of Justice hope you had a great holiday season and a happy new year. We wanted to give our listening audience a little update on where we are with our new season of our Case Files series. We are currently working on the episodes for our new season, which will be about the Lori Benbenek case. This will be hosted by our very own Ira Robbins. He worked on this case for over two decades and will take you through the many twists and turns of this tragic story. Starting this year, we will be releasing our weekly show with Sal and Ira, where they will give our listeners a look at the problems in the criminal justice system and solutions they see to fix them. But on this episode of Archangels of Justice Weekly, Sal and Ira discuss the Parkland shooting and the recent updates in the case.
Hello, everyone out there in listener land. This is Sal Rastrelli and Ira Robbins with the Archangels of Justice. We want to talk today about the Parkland massacre at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Fort Lauderdale back on February 14, 2018, with Valentine's Day. The lone gunman, Dickola Cruz, 19 years old, was a former student of Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. He killed 17 people on Valentine's Day in 2018 and injured 17 others, students and teachers. Not to mention the trauma of hundreds of other people, family members and friends within the school and outside the school. The survivors that day quickly identified Cruz as the shooter because they all knew him as being a former student at the school. He was arrested about an hour later after the shooting off of the school grounds by law enforcement after he was buying some fast food in town. As a result of this horrible tragedy, there was an enormous public outcry against the AR-15 weapon system and, in general, gun control. And a lot of this was brought forth by a number of people and a lot of political movements. However, that's really not the tragedy here. The tragedy here is the fact that it's not about gun control, and it's not about a particular pistol or rifle. This is about people that have criminal intent. They're the problem. Now, I want to move on with Ira about the real problem this day and why so many people were killed. And it was the lack of police response by the sheriff of Broward County, Scott Israel, and his deputies. That day, there was a deputy by the name of Scott Peterson on campus, school resource officer, paid to be on school campus for law enforcement presence and protection of the children and the teachers on campus. When the shooting started, he did nothing. He basically hid between some buildings, never attempted to locate where the shooting was coming from. He claimed during some interviews that he thought it was off campus. Yet, we all know better. You could tell when there's a firearm of that caliber being fired inside of a building. And there were people being injured and running. He knew what was going on. He was too scared to go in and do the job. Not only was Peterson on campus, but there was about six other deputies that arrived on scene and all stayed outside setting up a perimeter, never entering the building to hunt this person down and put an end to his rampage. So at this point, I'd like Ira to feed in here and discuss some of his thoughts on what happened that day.
Well, one of the things that's bothering me is they claim that they were setting up a perimeter. Well, generally, you set up a perimeter to contain somebody inside. You don't set up a perimeter, as I understand it, for anything other than that. You know, you want to be in control, but you have to take other action to get in there. When people are being killed and the police officers are doing nothing, you know, you and I as former police officers know better than that. How many times have we heard where first responders are running into a scene while the people in there are running out? That goes for firefighters, and that goes for law enforcement.
Yeah, and, good point.
But in this particular situation, nobody ran in there. Nobody took charge. And you don't have to have a commander come in there and say, go take charge. The first guys that were there without a commander should have been going inside and should have gone inside and checked and see what was happening and at least give first aid to the people that were injured if they could have found them.
But that's a very good point. Very good point. You know, at this point, I'd like to bring up Sergeant Jeff Heinrich. He was from the Coral Springs Police Department, and he happened to be on campus. He's off-duty officer, and he immediately, upon recognizing what was going on, attempted to give first aid as best as he could to wounded students that he was coming across. Now, this is going on. Scott Peterson from Broward County Sheriff's Office is the one that claimed he took up a tactical position. No, he took up a cover position where he didn't get himself shot, and he wasn't even under fire. The man didn't even know where the rounds were coming from, according to him. So, you know, his claim to fame is he's just a joke. Jeff Heinrich is actually a hero who attempted to help people. I want to bring up, too, people need to understand this, Ira, and I don't think a lot of people do, because I've seen a lot of unusual feedback from various people on this matter. In 1999, in Columbine High School, there were 20-some-odd people shot that day, if I remember correctly. And anyway, there was a lot of them were killed. That was a very horrendous school shooting. The Columbine Police Department called out their SWAT team, but a SWAT team mobilized, and by the time they got there, the shooting was over. So quickly, law enforcement recognized the need for what we called active shooter response. I was a SWAT team leader during the time of the Columbine incident, of course, in Florida, not in Colorado. But be that as it may, that massacre rang all over the country, and it caused law enforcement at that time to mobilize quickly into a training situation where people on the road, law enforcement officers on the road, detectives that were out on duty, didn't have to wait for the SWAT team or set up a perimeter like you had said. Their main function was to arrive on the scene immediately, get together as quickly as possible, and get in that building and locate that shooter and address him. And that meant, in our training aspects, was to shoot to kill. It was not to say, stop police and all this stuff. While this person's on a rampage, just randomly shooting people, our job was to find him and shoot him. And if that meant shooting him in the back or shooting him in the head, that was the objective. You had to put an end to the murderous rampage of a cold-blooded killer, not play some game like they did here in Broward County. This is disgusting. This is absolutely a scam on the part of the Broward County Sheriff's Office. The sheriff himself made some comment that day that, you know, it's not the general's problem when a deserter doesn't do his job, referring to Peterson. And never really referring to the six other deputies and a captain of his that all sat outside this building and did nothing. Captain Jan Jordan being one of them. Didn't do anything. Here she is, a captain, for crying out loud. And she didn't have enough common sense and enough training to realize you go in. I mean, if she was a captain in 2018 and she was still around in the sheriff's department back in the 90s, as I was at the time, she got this training. She knew what it meant to get in and deal with an active shooter, not ignore the situation and hide outside. The other thing people don't realize, and they go, well, he had an AR-15. The cops only have pistols. Let me tell you a little something. There's not a cruiser in Florida that doesn't have at least a shotgun in it, and more than likely, not only a shotgun, but either an AR-15 or a Mini-14, which both shoot the same round as the gun that Cruz was using. And the cops are wearing bulletproof vests. Now, with that being said, they could have went into that building and found him and shot him dead, hopefully saving some of the lives that they could have saved once they cleared that building and eliminated the threat. They could have got ambulances in there to help the wounded. Because of their lack of action, though, people were left to lay in them buildings and die bleeding to death that possibly could have been saved.
Well, a couple of the things that I find, you know, improper here is, first of all, the FBI received at least two complaints about this guy. One in some kind of a Facebook thing that they identified the name, but they couldn't tell who the guy was. Now, that's the FBI. They can't tell who the guy was. They know the name, and they have access to the computer system, and they have all their experts. What's wrong with that picture? They probably didn't get off their dead butts to do anything. I'm not too impressed with the FBI in the first place.
Well, you know what? You bring up a good point, because about last year, there was the shooting in Orlando in the nightclub. Do you recall that nightclub shooting where, you know, I think close to 100 people were shot by basically a homegrown Middle Eastern transplant who, now get this, he was in a gun shop in Stuart, Florida, and had been buying ammunition and making all kinds of comments on the phone in Arabic. And the store people were very, very concerned about what they thought he might be discussing. And they actually exposed this information to the Martin County Sheriff's Office and the FBI the day of the shooting, okay, earlier in the day. And none of them did anything either. And he wound up in Orlando, and he shot up that place. So here's another failure by the part of law enforcement agencies that had, information and intelligence about a possible violent person, you know, who was making commentary about, you know, killing people.
Well, the problem is, you and I both know how bad Martin County Sheriff's Department is. And then they have a sheriff out there named Bill Snyder, that's from all rumors we've heard is semi-senile. And they got this guy running the show, and they have fouled up so many things that we know about. It's phenomenal. We've already done investigations and filed all kinds of reports with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement against the Martin County Sheriff's Department, and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement didn't do anything, probably because they couldn't find the Martin County Sheriff's Department. These people have become, they're so useless. They only protect each other. If you file a complaint, they give you every reason in the world why it's wrong, because they were protecting each other. And it's really terrible. And Scott Israel, the sheriff of Broward, not only did he deny wrongdoing, but he publicly stated it's not his fault if the deputies failed to act. Well,
yeah, I know. And that's what amazes me. You know, when you say that, it makes you laugh. You sit there and say, wait a minute, you're the boss. And you claim you gave them training and you give them weapons and you give them all the stuff to do the job like this. Because this is a real point of contention with me, is individual responsibility. As a police officer, when you were a policeman and I was a policeman for 25 years, my personal responsibility and the oath I took and the oath you took was the same oath of office that a Marine, an Army, Air Force, or Navy takes, you know, to swear to uphold the Constitution, to swear to protect all of our country from any type of terrorist activity, whether it be domestic or foreign. And this is the thing that bugs the hell out of me. We send young Marines that are 18, 19 years old off to a foreign land to die for interests of America, right? They're dying. They're getting shot up, these young children. And then we have a 30-year-old, 40-year-old veteran police officer who's been highly trained and knows what his job is and doesn't have the guts to go in and protect our children. Aren't they interests of America? Isn't it our interest as law enforcement officers to serve and protect the community we serve, and that pays us to do the job? That's what frustrates me.
I just want to get off the track for a second. You know, when you talk about what you were just talking about, there are things in there that people have no idea what happens. The police protect each other. It's constantly that way. They always keep everything secret. Do you ever notice that if you were to commit a crime, you'd be arrested and charged tomorrow? Well, a lot of times it takes them 6 months or a year to charge an officer that's so blatantly guilty, it's phenomenal.
It's all
to cover up and make it more difficult for anybody prosecuting a case against the police department to do something. The internal affairs departments are just terrible. And then you're talking about how we protect everybody. You know, I'm just going to bring just one little quick statement on this one. We send our soldiers out to die or be seriously injured. And when we come back, we don't take care of them. They have to go to the Wounded Warrior Project to get their help. What kind of country have we turned into? If we're going to send these people out and have them seriously injured and hurt their families as badly as we're hurting them, why can't we take care of them?
We have to take care of them. And we take care of our policemen, too. You know, that's the sad part about it, because, you know, there are some good cops out there that have done their job, put themselves at risk. About 2 months after this incident, there was a Marion County deputy. I think his name was Long, last name. And Deputy Long entered a high school that was under fire by a lone gunman. And he went in after the guy and got him by himself, all by himself. Yeah. And this was only a couple months after this particular shooting in Parkland at the Douglas High School. So you sit there and say to yourself, what the hell is the difference? It's called personal responsibility. This is a man who put on his badge, his gun, and his uniform, and he proudly goes to work, and he puts his own life on the line to do what he swore to do, protect and serve. Then you got this loser, Scott Peterson, who, by the way, Scott Israel, his wonderful sheriff, this useless turd, he tells the guy, well, you didn't do your job, so you better retire. Now, so the guy retires on an $8,000 a month salary. $8,000 a month. He's living and breathing, has his $8,000 a month, and he has the guts to tell people, I'm not a coward. I took up a tactical position. No, I say, Scott Peterson, you're a coward. Just like Andrew Polak.
You and I can say that because we were on the streets, and I never
did the job.
I'd run up three flights of stairs and grab somebody that I knew that was a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. Because that's what we did, and I never, ever thought of backing down.
No.
That badge was my oath, and if somebody disrespected it in such a way that they tried to kill me, I had to get them first.
Well, you know, and even in those situations, too, there were many, many times where I went after people, you know, that were armed, that were after other people and took care of it. And it wasn't me that was the victim or the target. It was someone else. And I wasn't afraid to go in after them. I wasn't afraid to kick in a door and chase them down, you know, by myself. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. This personal responsibility of the officer, Polak, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. His daughter was killed that day at the Parkland High School shooting in Broward. And Mr. Polak has made it his absolute duty to do whatever he can to go after Scott Peterson for his failure to act as a police officer. He's called him out as a coward a number of times. And he really believes that Peterson doesn't deserve his pension. And that pension, he believes, should be going to some of the survivors that need medical help. And I agree with them.
Right. You know, we should do as part of the focus of our podcast and our radio show that's coming up. I believe that we should be supporting people like him and him in particular, and seeing if we can get help so that police officers like Peterson can be taken to task for it.
Yeah, you know, he should be taken to task. You know, the cap that I mentioned earlier, Jan Jordan, she also has resigned now under the heat from the public. But what's really sad is that I think 15 survivors have come forward and filed a federal lawsuit against the law enforcement community in Broward County, you know, specifically Broward County Sheriff's Office, for their lack of duty, their negligence of duty, their dereliction of duty, the fact that they cowardly allowed 17 children to die and 17 more to be seriously injured. And there was a court decision by a federal court judge by the name of Beth Bloom just about a week ago, here in December 2018, where she's decided that the case will be dismissed and basically stated that the police and the school board have no duty to protect the students. And she further said, because the students are not in custody. And I said to myself when I heard that, what the hell does that mean? What do you mean not in custody? They're students. We are paying in every county that I know of in the state of Florida, school resource officers to be on campus to protect the school and the people within it. So listen to that double talk. They don't have a duty to protect.
You know, the whole thing is that she's making it on a constitutional statement that the Constitution doesn't provide any kind of protection for children that's automatic. See, when when police take care of the or arrest an individual, or they put somebody in a mental institution, then they become responsible for the person's safety and well-being.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, but when what she's saying is there's no constitutional right for these people to say that the police have an obligation to protect them. Well, here's the funny thing about it. These people are law enforcement officers. What dumb judge in the world doesn't know that? Their obligation is to enforce the law, not sit back and wait for it to be finished up. They turn around and we've all been trained. Every police officer is trained to enforce the law. Do you only enforce giving parking tickets because it's the law to properly park? Or do you have to go out there and go after these people? Yes, it's a scary situation. And yes, maybe somebody might be hurt. But that is our function as law enforcement officers. We can't just say, well, you can't do anything about it because the Constitution doesn't say anything about it. It's,
no, you're
it's
right.
Absolutely common sense. Peterson's lawyer sought to dismiss a lawsuit filed by the family of Meadow Pollock, one of the 17 people killed. And the Broward County judge, Patty Englander Henning, rejected his argument that Peterson had no legal duty to protect the students and the faculty.
Absolutely,
legal duty. We gave him a gun, we gave him the training, and he's supposed to provide the courage to do something like that. And if he doesn't, we aren't supposed to have our kids dying, or we shouldn't be dying, because some dillweed police officer didn't respond properly. And it's a real sad state when that happens. And I think what we should do is maybe take away the guards and the protection that protect this judge in her courtroom, because there's no constitutional rule that says that we should protect the judges. You know, they have bulletproof. They have bulletproof glass around. They have metal detectors around all these police departments. Do you know why? Because they screw so many of us. There's a paranoia that goes with it. They're afraid some of us will get them back. And we are getting so fed up, you can't even go into a police station without having to go through bulletproof glass to get a report. And it's all happening because these people are not working to protect us. They're only working to protect themselves.
You're right. And that goes all the way up to the judge. You know, as you started talking about earlier about prosecuting an officer for neglect of duty or dereliction of duty, forget it'll never happen, because they'll always find an excuse to say, oh, well, policy says this or the Constitution says that. And, you know, the officer just didn't really enact appropriately. He wasn't quite sure what to do, and we can't criminally charge him. You know, that's the kind of nonsense that goes on with the judges and the prosecutors. And you made a perfect analogy there about the Broward County judge who actually said, yes, he did have a duty to protect those children. That's his job, as you mentioned. It is the job. How many times in my career and in your career we put our lives on the line to take care of a violent threat against citizens? It happened a lot. It happened so much I can't even keep count. And, you know, at the end of the day is you don't want to get hurt, but you use your training, you use your weapons, you use your protection, do what you got to do, and you get the job done. You know, this clown, Peterson, and his entourage of fools that were out there doing nothing for these students, I really hope that every night that they go to bed, they think about their miserable performance, because they did. That was just absolutely miserable performance on their part. And I hope they roll in bed every night without a good night's sleep. Because at the end of the day, in my opinion, they need to take their badges, take their ID, turn in their weapons and everything else and quit. Because if you're too stupid to realize that when you swear an oath and take the job as a law enforcement officer, that the possibility you may be injured or killed, then you don't belong in the job. Go flip hamburgers somewhere or go push a freaking shopping cart out into the parking lot. Because at the end of the freaking day, the job is dangerous. And if you don't have the guts to carry it out, don't take it.
When I was on the job, we had a big armed robbery at the jewelry store in a big shopping center. And everybody responded. And there was a big shootout. And the guys were eventually captured. And one of our officers, who was a sergeant, was hiding behind the car. He wouldn't even look up, and they charged him with cowardice. Mm-hmm. And then they eventually threw that out. Then he retired from our department and became the chief of a suburban department in the county. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. Yes. They promote these people over and over again. And the worse you are, the better, the higher you go. Look at Martin County Sheriff's Department. The cream floats right to the top of the cesspool they call the Martin County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's like that in all the departments, though. And you know, and of course, you know, I want to stick pretty much to this Broward County shooting. But the level of incompetence that I've seen in my career in law enforcement is statewide. And since you and I formed the Archangels back in 2012, 2013, how many other cases have we seen like this around the nation? And when you start looking at the chain of command, the rank structure, the investigative prowess of the detectives, the ability for them to have critical thinking and actually do their jobs correctly, it's enough to make me want to vomit. Because, you know, people watch these stupid television shows that show you every cop's a hero. Well, that's not true. It's a joke. And not every cop is the greatest detective in the world, because that's not true. You know, you've got people out here that have no personal responsibility. They pin that badge on and they go to work every day to collect a paycheck, to get a pension, to get some benefits. And they're no different than a politician. They don't do a damn thing. They politic around the office to get rank structure. They make it up the chain of command, and they're useless. They're useless, absolutely useless. You know, and that's what you see.
And a lot of them are morally bankrupt.
No, they're morally bankrupt. There's no doubt about that. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody wants to go out and get themselves killed. I've been shot at before in my career in law enforcement, and it's a scary-ass feeling. It is. I agree. But, you know, I fought through it, and I did my freaking job. At the end of the day, the bad guy was in handcuffs. You know, it is what it is. Yep. And I have no respect for an officer that doesn't go out and put himself on the line to save young, innocent lives. And that's really what torques me. You know, this is not a shooting in a gun-infested neighborhood where you got a gang war going on and bullets flying everywhere between gangs. Yeah, I agree. As a police officer, the last thing you want to do is rush into that, you know, where you got 20 people shooting at each other. But in this situation, you got a lone gunman hunting down children and killing them, cold-bloodedly killing them. It's your job as a police officer to hunt that mad dog down and put him down. And well, these guys were cowards, Ira.
I personally, you know, can't tell you how many times I had the living crap scared out of me, but I just kept going because that was the oath I took to protect and serve. I was a law enforcement officer, and you know, I would have probably felt so terrible if somebody got hurt and I could have done something about it and didn't react. I couldn't have lived with myself. And you're going to find, though, that these officers, and, you know, one of the things I've noticed, a lot of officers that don't do the jobs, that are just handicapped when it comes to life, and they're taking their paycheck and having their drinks and that stuff. The ones that I was on the department with, and I know them, the good ones, almost all of them are still alive. Mm-hmm. And the bad ones have had health problems and you know, can't even stand up anymore, and a lot of them are dead. I'm 77 years old, and for what I do, with 55 years of experience, I'm very pleased and I'm honored to be able to do what I do. And my health so far appears to be good. I'm not dead yet. I'm not above ground. I'm still above ground. But I believe that so many people and so many prosecutors and so many judges die early because of the fact that they're morally bankrupt. They work on behalf of their buddies rather than in behalf of what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, they're not proud of themselves. Internally, it does eat you alive. And I agree with you 110% because, you know, the 25 years I spent in law enforcement, I'm proud of them 25 years. You know I did my job. I know I got my ass handed to me a couple times too. But it was worth it in the end because I saved somebody's ass. I saved another human being. And that was the end of the day. That was what the job was about. And so I could look back on the 25 years and be very happy with it. Where, and as you mentioned, I know a lot of guys that are dead now that were younger than I am. I'm 63. And I know a lot of guys that died in their 40s and 50s, you know, from all sorts of health issues, because they were the type that were pretty much morally bankrupt and they drank themselves into oblivion and had all sorts of health issues. Because internally they knew they weren't doing their jobs.
Well, somebody said maybe it's from what they were eating. And I said, no, it's not what they were eating. It's what was eating them.
That's right. You're right.
You can't do that kind of stuff. And you lose sleep, your health suffers. And you might not realize it, but emotionally, internally, things go haywire your family matters suffer the one problem after the other. Mm-hmm. But I think we're off the line a little bit, but I think this is a terrible situation, and I think we should just keep beating them up until they fold.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Ira. I mean, I remember when I first started on the job, of course, a rookie, and I had a lieutenant that had been on the job for a long time, probably about 12 years already. And his one piece of advice he gave me, and it still sticks in my mind today, was be true to yourself. You know, he said, I could tell, you know, that you want to be the type of cop that helps people and do their job right. He says, be true to yourself. Don't lose sight of that, because in this job, it's very easy to lose sight of why you became a cop. And I stuck to that. I always remembered that in my own head. And I always kept that close to me because I had my calling was to be a law enforcement officer because I wanted to help people. And I stuck to that through my whole career until I retired. And it really, really disgusts me when I see the behavior of this Broward County Sheriff's Office this day, you know, on Valentine's Day in 2018. That's a day that we're all going to remember here in Florida and probably nationally. And I want to extend my condolences to all the families that lost their children or have injured children at home, and to those that survived this incident that weren't injured but have mental scars now from this. And then there are obviously going to be issues with all of them now to ever trust law enforcement again to protect them. And that's really the core of this, because, you know, you got, when you talked about earlier the gun control issues briefly, if we can't depend on them to protect us, we have to be able to protect ourselves.
No doubt about it.
Law enforcement's not doing its job. You know, like you said before, you said this many times, and I'll let you say it, you know, how the motto protect and serve should be changed.
Well, it shouldn't be to protect and serve on the side of the car. They left out a word. It should be to protect and serve ourselves, because that's all they do. They're not serving us. And what they do is when they screw us or do something wrong to us, they go in another room and give each other a high five and laugh about it. And
you're right.
But that causes their early demise, and they don't realize it. I think if somebody ever did a long term study on it, they'd find it. Yep. You and I, that's what we do. And one last thing before I think we check out, or two last things. First of all, on your job, you were true to yourself, but how many times did you get screwed for being true to yourself and doing the right thing because they didn't want it done? And second of all, if anybody wants to contact us by email, I'm Ira, IRA, at archangelsofjustice.com. And Sal.
No, it's .org.
I'm sorry. No, it's com for our website.
Oh, you're talking about the website. I thought you were talking about the email addresses. Those are .orgs.
Yeah, but if anybody wants to email us, Ira or Sale at archangelsofjustice.org.
Yeah, for the emails.
Yeah. And then look up Archangels of Justice and Facebook and put in your comments. I'm writing on one case right now. We'll have a podcast coming out starting in about 30 days where they took, you might have heard the case, Lori Bembenek, her name, they called her Bambi, Milwaukee police officer that turned in corruption, and they beat the living hell out of her and put her in prison. And ultimately she died at age 52. And I'm writing a complete podcast on that. It'll be about 10 or 12 weeks long of about 45 minutes a week.
Oh, how so, she was wrongfully convicted and actually basically framed. Yeah. Because you and I have discussed that case at length.
And I stood up for her and the crap they did to me. And one little thing, when she got out of prison, the local newspapers printed, now that she's out of prison, her own private investigator, Ira Robbins, can get a life. Is that what you tell us about somebody that's just worked almost a decade to pre somebody they hardly even knew? That's how they treat you when they all get together, the media, and they will take the word for the district attorney. He would tell people not to hire me, and it was terrible doing the right thing. Doing the right thing is hard, but it's got to be done.
It's always the sacrifice that we make, anybody makes, when you do the right thing for other people. You know, we've always lived by this adage too. Let's face it, no good deed ever goes unpunished, Ira. Remember that. it's so true. It's so true. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people out there could relate to it, even if it wasn't a life-threatening situation. You know, you did good deeds and you got punished for them, because nobody ever appreciates the guy that goes out of their way to help them. And
I think that's because they're ashamed of, because they don't do it themselves. If they can't see it for themselves, they can't see it for you.
And you're so right on that one. And, you know, before we close the podcast, you know, Ira brought up that we're going to be doing a series of podcasts that you're going to be able to find. And we'll post them on our Facebook page, and it'll also be located on our web page, which is thearchangelsofjustice.com. Now, those podcasts will be separated. One will be a weekly podcast, which will be informative of pretty much on current events. That's where you would find this particular one about the Parkland shooting. And then the one about Lori Bembenek, you will find on case files. There are two separate headings that will be on our website. So this way, if you want to listen to Lori Bembenek, which that'll be under a case file, Archangels of Justice case files. And the other one will be under weeklies. And under weeklies, there'll this be this one today that we just put up, and it'll be up soon in a couple of days. The other one will be, I'll be putting out one on self-defense. This is a timely issue, especially now that we've brought up this Parkland shooting incident and the judge's decision that the police do not have a duty to protect our young children in a school. Well, if they don't have a duty to protect our children in a school, I guess they don't have a duty to protect you either. So who's going to protect you? You, yourself. So stay tuned for my weekly on self-defense, which will start in the first part of the year. And that'll also be a series of probably about 10 episodes. But that one you'll find on our...
Then we're also starting a radio show. It'll be a call-in where we'll go into wrongful convictions, child protective service problems, guardianship abuse, elder abuse, and all kinds of issues related to the community. Sale and I will discuss them, and we'll have experts from all over talking about polygraph testing, DNA, and keeping everybody informed, that everybody can call in and ask questions. And if we don't have an expert there, we'll get one in short order and get that person on there. And we hope everybody would listen to that. It's going to be once or twice a week to start with. And our goal is to do it 5 days a week for at least an hour so that anybody can call in and learn, because nobody out there to teach them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the idea that we're promoting here is for people to understand, you know, when you listen to the news, the media, you're not getting the whole story. You know, you're really not getting the truth. You're getting, you know, a watered down version that is politically motivated. We are not politically motivated. We're not politically correct. We're very politically incorrect. And we will tell you the truth. We will not gloss over things. So if you really want real news and you really want real opinions about an incident, call us or listen in, and you'll be intrigued.
You know, through the work of Sal and the Archangels and me, what we've done is in the last several years, we've been instrumental in helping get three people charged with murder that the police said was not murder, or that was medical emergency or something like that, and got them convicted. So there's a lot of good that can come out of what we're doing. We'd like to have an alliance with anybody that has a disagreement with the law enforcement. We'll tell them, or the courts, and we'll tell them how to straighten things out and how to file open records request reports or freedom of information requests. We'll tell them about the court system. Pardon me?
We'll find an attorney, other experts, things like that. I mean, that's the idea here behind what we're doing, is to keep you informed, to point you in the right direction, and hopefully it gets you what you need to get rather than what somebody's trying to force feed you. I think we're going to end the podcast today. And then this way, just stay tuned to our Facebook page and go to our website, archangelsjustice.com, and look at our weekly podcast and our case file podcast. And like Ira mentioned, stay tuned for when we actually start our radio show. But you still can get information and advice from us by emailing us at sal@archangelsofjustice.org or ira@archangelsofjustice.org. Please, and archangelsofjustice.com is the address of the website. Thank you very much, and have a great day.